Thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for 30 minutes of honest advice, tips, and resources. I'm Trudy J, and I am here with Wendy Valla.
Hello.
And Shah Barrett.
Hello.
Hello. You sounded like you were going to say something.
I feel like we should have a jaunty theme tune at the start. Just saying.
Just saying. But like, what kind
after
of,
6
this
years,
is the trouble.
You want a jaunty theme you've tuned?
Well,
there's
we've
four
tried.
Of us and we can't decide on one theme tune. So it's
do we
like,
have horns? Do we have trumpets? Do we have like some cool kind of synthesizer?
We should have theme music to something anything. Like the A-Team or
Charlie's A-Team. Angels. Or
oh
something.
My goodness, you guys are showing your ages here. The A-Team.
MacGyver. What was MacGyver's theme?
MacGyver
song?
Was cool. Anyway, what topic are we talking about today? Yeah.
Right. Today we are talking about how to believe in yourself when no one else does.
But we're doing a positive spin on it. This isn't
this is negative. We're positive.
This is you are not alone.
You are not alone.
And feeling
you are
that
never
you are
alone.
Alone.
You we are
not
here for you.
Alone.
Oh, I you can see this is gonna be one of those.
Go,
fire in the hole. Okay, believe in yourself. So there's a lot of easy ways not to believe in yourself with self-publishing, right?
Oh, yeah, we're all good at that.
We're amazing at that, like thinking that our writing sucks or that we're maybe not smart enough or that we haven't got enough time or
we haven't
or
got
that
enough money.
Got enough money or maybe people are not going to like our books or whatever.
What are we thinking?
What are we thinking? Yeah. What are we doing? Maybe
there's
not
a million
in the
books
right
up there. Genre. Why do they need mine?
Yeah, how are they going to find my books? No one's going to find my books. Oh, my goodness. Are these all...
Not enough people in the world to keep buying my books. How do I think I'm going to keep selling them?
Yeah, like maybe there's not enough people to continue buying. So these are all thoughts, right, that we have as writers.
Funny how they come very easily to us, isn't
yeah,
it?
Strangely,
there's no
strangely.
Pre-planning for this. No. Shocking, I know.
Shocking. And you may notice that they're all quite negative, these thoughts that we're having. So believing in yourself, is it like how do you keep going when you're sort of thinking all this stuff and to me a lot of it is changing how I believe, like changing how I'm thinking about myself and changing how so I've been working on a lot of that this year, working on thinking no, my books are great, I love my writing, I love my books, you know, all these kinds of things. And once you start, and I know that's very easy to say, right? Like, so people go, well, or maybe someone's sitting there going, oh, I love my books, but no one else around me believes in me. So we'll come to that. But I'm just saying the very first place to start is in you and inside yourself and to look at how you're looking at things. And are you being really negative? And are you thinking these terrible thoughts about your writing and you and your book and I'm not good enough and all those kinds of things? Because if that's what you're thinking, then that's what you're putting out into the world. And if you're putting out that into the world, then no, you're not going to get anywhere.
I think it's really important to actually notice it. That's the first start. You know, the old mindfulness thing, always notice first. And I think it's really important that you actually start paying attention to how you're thinking and what you're telling yourself is really
important.
Because
they are quite automatic. Right.
Yeah. Negative thoughts are quicker than the positive ones. Eh? They're
and
the ones
so
that
true.
Are in there.
And it's the odd story. You can have 100 reviews and 99 can be positive and one can be negative. And what's the
and
one
like,
that you
oh.
talk about that you can almost remember word for word is that one negative where
and validation.
Our brain is wired that way. So just accept that that's a biological wiring and work with that and don't kind of give it any more attention.
And sometimes you just need to think like pay attention. So if you say, oh, there's this one negative review, go actually go and make a point, like notice it, look at your mind, look where it's going, notice it, and go and look at all the positive reviews.
Yes.
Or even better, go look at all the negative reviews that are on really popular authors that you love. Like I've got these authors who I think are the best authors ever. Like the writing's amazing. I love the story. I devour it. And then I'll go look on their Amazon page and for the book, and there'll be negative reviews. And I'll be like, what are they on? But that's actually really good because it just shows you as an author that actually there's always someone. There's always going to be someone.
It's a mental game for me. Everything changed when I realized that I didn't need validation from other people.
Yeah.
And that's something, you've got to get to that stage. You've got to go, well, why aren't these people going, you're a really good writer, I really love your books, or I love that story, or go you for being an author and being home and, you know, writing full time. And as soon as I realized that in actual fact, I don't need that from them. I've just got to be happy within myself you know, when I get there, I'll let you know. But, yeah. you know, like, it's.
Meanwhile, we love you, Wendy.
Yeah. No, but it's the truth, isn't it? You can't keep seeking something from people that aren't going to give it to you, too.
And, isn't that the truth? I think that we're all looking for that external validation, whether it's like you say. I mean, and in some ways it's a weird sort of world, the self-publishing world, because up until now, publishing has been closed off to what, 95% of us, you know, we all attended those conferences over the years where we'd pitch to an agent or pitch to an editor, and then they would talk about getting, you know, 500 queries a week, and they'd take 5%. So you kind of knew the odds were stacked against you, and you're always seeking that validation from somebody else, that kind of the golden ticket, if you like. Self-publishing has opened it up for all of us now, and so I think in some ways we've transferred our validation onto our want of it to sales, or often to our family and fellow writers as well, you know. And some people obviously are still doing the traditional path as well, and that's that, or they're staying in a place, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this, they're staying in a place where they're working very hard and writing maybe for a traditional contract, or staying with it because their validation is in many ways so important to them from that, than possibly taking the plunge and probably the more financially,
which is okay thing, if that makes you happy.
Well, that's the key though, isn't it? It's what makes you happy. And I think there's a lot of I think it's a lot of human nature to stay stuck in a zone where you're not necessarily happy, but it's a known thing. So
if you're someone, for example, who is stuck in a traditional contract, for example, and you feel that you need the validation of an editor to get, now the point number one I'd make is that editors don't know what's going to be successful either, and a lot of publishing houses will throw a whole bunch of stuff at a wall and see what sticks, and if your book doesn't stick, then you're gone, like there is no kind of loyalty or anything like that, because they're a business. But on the but they don't know, so they might be saying validating your writing, they might be validating saying this book is something that they personally like, but that doesn't mean that it's going to hit worldwide success. But you can recreate that same kind of situation for you in a self-publishing world. So if you need someone to come along and validate you in an editorial sense, as in look at your writing, you can hire an editor who maybe is working freelance or has been previously worked often, for a publishing house, often because they've been made redundant, not been fired or whatever. Mm. So you don't necessarily... look at why you need the validation.
I think that's the key, isn't it? Look and understand what you want.
Yeah, like what you need out of it. Like, so if it's just you need someone to kind of come along and make sure that the book is where it needs to be, you can hire someone to do that. No worries at all. And get that same thing and then have the benefit of self-publishing.
And I would say, again, probably from the history that we guys are coming from 20 years of attending writers' conferences before the self-publishing time, you know, agents and editors were held up on pedestals. They were like gods. You know, you didn't dare speak to them in the bathrooms. You didn't, you know, you basically bow down to them, you know, was kind of the messaging, I think, that we were given, whether directly or indirectly, as attendees. And for a lot of us, we recognize now they're just human like the rest of us, and as Trudy said, they don't have all the answers necessarily. So I think that's a key to believing in yourself, is just acknowledging that you are just as smart and just as capable as everybody else out there. You know, nobody has all their crap together.
Ducks in a row.
I love that story about Neil Gaiman tells about how he was at some event somewhere and he was standing in at the back of the room, kind of listen to some person speak up on the front, and then he's got, you know, this crowded room full of all these amazing people, and he's sort of standing there going, oh, you know, Philip, you know, imposter syndrome, Phil's a bit of a fraud. And he was chatting to the guy next to him, who was also called Neil, and the guy happened to sort of say to him, oh, you know, I feel like a bit of an imposter being here, you know, I'm not, you know, what am I doing here with all these amazing people? And Neil said, you know, if Neil Armstrong thinks that he's not really in the right place and is feeling a little bit you know that everyone feels it, right?
Like, everyone suffers with it, right?
It's so true. I think I saw something, I can't remember, it was on a podcast that I listened to the other day, and it was basically, the message was, everybody else is a hot mess too. Like, Don't buy into the fallacy that they're better than you, or that they're smarter than you, or they're more talented than you.
Yeah. And this is something that I've been working on personally, and it's something that I've gotten through Brooke. But it's the idea.
Oh, your best friend Brooke.
I know. This is shocking.
Who's Brooke?
I'm not telling Trudy. You.
Never
I'm
heard her name you. Before.
I'm not giving you further information. If you don't know who I'm talking about now, dear listener,
dear
fellow Spargirls, then I'm not telling you more. Anyway, so Brooke says one time at Bandcamp. No. Brooke says, no. So okay, I'm back on board now. So the idea that you are worthy. Right now, right here. So stop what you're doing, think about yourself and go, I am worthy. Like, and when I first started doing this, I was like, no, that feels awful. Like, yuck, because I didn't feel worthy. I felt like I wasn't doing everything I needed to be doing. I was, you know, like I was judging myself. And I have come to a point where I can kind of go, I am worthy right now, right here. Still, I'm still overweight. I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm still, you know, all over the show, but I'm worthy and that's cool. And I don't need to change in any way or do anything
new
to be worthy. And
that
is an amazing feeling. And I feel so good and strong in that. And it makes me, and think about how it makes you feel, because I just suddenly feel really, I've got the tingles going down me. And I'm like,
and you feel so lighter.
And
it takes a while to get to that point, though, I imagine. I'm not there.
No, you can't do it immediately. And it's something I've been working on for a while now. And it just changes my outlook. Like it makes me feel, and it's not that I'm doing, that I'm perfect or I'm doing all these things, but it's just, it doesn't matter because I'm worthy.
Yeah.
So just think that through. And
I am worthy.
And you're worthy before you've sold a single book or before you've made a single ad, before you've whatever.
Yeah.
So here's the tricky thing, I think, and it's human nature to want support from our family and friends when we're trying something, particularly, and it's scary when it's something creative. And a lot of the time, the people around us that may love us the most aren't of a creative bent and don't really kind of get it, or they see us stressing over word count or see us, you know, beavering away at night when the rest of the family's doing something else and kind of possibly even resent it a little bit that you're not there for them all the time. That can be really hard.
I sometimes think that, like, so for example, my mum, I'll be working really hard. She goes, oh, do you need to keep doing that? Like,
yes.
And she'll kind of be like, and she's saying it from a place of love. Like, she's not down on me about it. She's just kind of like, she looks at me and thinks, oh, I'm working too hard.
Yeah.
And or you're, take time
you're
off.
At home. What? Yeah. Why can't you? You work from home. Surely you can just stop. You know, that's what I get.
Yeah.
Surely you can just stop.
But she's not doing it from a bad place. They're not doing it from a
lack of understanding.
It's just lack of understanding. Like not.
Or she's seeing you possibly, you know, your face screwed up and you're focusing and concentrating on something or whatever, and she doesn't want you to be in pain, if you like.
And that's a real mum thing. And they don't, and just because they don't understand what you're doing, they don't understand your drive or your goals or whatever. That
I think you have to
say these things, but
you have to make yourself the priority. You know, and I sometimes
it's
think we
very
don't.
Hard. Very hard.
As mothers, we
woman.
Don't. Like, I fit all of my writing in around everything and everyone else.
Yeah,
I do.
Even now,
you know, I always
even
have.
Now,
even now, yeah, I work mornings. I get up
How
in the morning
that?
And I work, and then I work 3 or 4 hours at night. You know, in front of the TV, and you know, like even now, I fit everything around. Everything else and that's you know, that's something I need to get my head around and start focusing. I'm getting better at it, but
and I think that's the thing too, the whole thing about believing in yourself, and a lot of that comes to how you are treating yourself, kind of thing, isn't it? You know,
well, if you don't take yourself seriously,
yeah,
no one else is going to.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so too. And I think,
and I want to go back to the idea of mum or whoever else saying things that you kind of, like when mum says to me, take a break. And I'm going, I can't, I've got to finish this thing. I've got to do this thing, you know. And I used to kind of feel a bit hurt by it and a little bit upset. And it's kind of like, now I don't, because now I kind of go, you know what? I know and understand where she's coming from. She's not doing this out of anything mean. And she just doesn't understand it, and I can keep moving on. And I just explain quietly that, you know, I've got to keep this going because I've got to get this done, whatever. You know, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. Like, people will say stuff to you. People will. And whether it's intentionally hurtful or not, it's kind of, you just have to kind of.
Well, I think.
But everyone's coming from a different place.
Though. Everybody is.
So you don't know what there's going on in their life. Like, you might, someone might pull up in a car who's a friend and they look like thunder. And you think, oh, what have I done? Why is that? You know, why is she looking like that? But in actual fact, she's just driven for miles, had two screaming children in her car, and it's not even directed at you. But instantly you feed off that.
Yes.
Yeah. And you start telling yourself stories about why they don't like you.
Yeah. That's the truth.
So I also think too, though, sometimes when we're changing or when we're trying something and putting ourselves out there, shifting our comfort zone, you know, maybe trying a side gig of writing or trying it full time or whatever, is can be quite threatening to some people as well. People don't like, you know,
they don't understand it.
They want you to stay in your, you know, here's your role. Your role is this to me, and you're now doing this, you know, and that can cause a little tension as well. And I think that's where working on your whole self-belief really needs shoring up, because you're not going to get fanfare all the time necessarily, and often it might be your spouse or people closest to you that actually don't want you doing that. They don't see a point in maybe spending money on a course or whatever. Then it's, and the thing with writing, it's not tangible until you've actually got a paperback in your hand. So much of it is kind of invisible.
It's the unknown. The writing is the unknown. We don't know writers besides ourselves. We don't, you can't walk down the street and knock over 50 writers, whereas you probably would, you know, a builder or an administrator or a, you know, whatever. It's a different gig because people don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, what does it mean? What do you mean you're a writer?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Which means to me that one of the important things about I know we're talking about how to believe in yourself, but actually having a tribe of author friends can be really helpful, because there is a lot of misunderstanding. There are a lot of myths and beliefs around writers and what it takes and what's involved and how much money you should make and or shouldn't make or any of that kind of stuff out there in the world. And I think having a group of like-minded friends who are authors who understand that, and I would say specifically self-published authors, because I think authors who are traditionally published have quite a different mindset to it than we do. Like, there's a very entrepreneurial kind of aspect to what we do that I don't think, I mean, there may be some, but on the whole, traditional authors don't have. So I think that would just help you kind of at least be in the zone and the right, you know, understand that maybe these other people who don't understand the industry, who are your family, who you love and care for, but it's okay that they don't necessarily know the right thing to say or don't know how to deal with you doing what
you've got
doing.
To teach them too. You can't just go, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to talk to them anymore if they're going to, about my, you know, it's like a get all pissy about it. It's got to be a, you know, okay, well, here's the thing. This is important to me. This is what I do. This is what my future is going to be. And I've had that, you know, I've been writing for many years now, and I still, you know, people will say to me, oh, but you don't really work. Do you? You know,
again, it's all about them, though, isn't it? It's their filter. So to them, work might be, you know, picking up a tool or making a cake or whatever. It's that visibility. And it's going to be interesting, though, isn't it? So going to back to the work from home thing, you're not really working for working from home. Having had this year, we're recording this at the end of 2020, where working from home has basically hit the mainstream. Won't that be interesting to see? Suddenly, is everybody now working giving more credits to working from home? That will, you know, who knows?
We're understanding that there are actually things that are hard about any workplace.
Look, it is hard to get your family on board, though, right? Like, my husband, you know, when I very first started, he sort of was, now he's all like, he's retired, I'm going to retire him next year, and he is going to be the house husband. He's really excited about it. And he's like, well, you know, you've got your office.
Does he still cook all your dinners and stuff? Like, does he?
We share, but what he will do is he will do everything. He said to me, "You just go to work. You know, that's fine." Basically, because he works hard now, and he's got a physical job, and you know, he's an engineer, and he's very gets very tired, so he comes home and he physically can't because at his age he's now naked. But yeah,
it's but not that old, by the way.
No, it's not that old. but what I'm saying is, if you, a physical job and it's quite hard on him. But what I'm saying is, we move and he's going to retire, and he knows that for him to retire and me to work, he has to take over all the housework. He has to do all the cooking. He has to do, you know.
That's and so the thing, actually. That's a really good point, because I think there's even now, even in 2020s, women are still doing a huge amount of not only the labor around the home, but also the emotional labor, if you like, around the home, of setting up the social functions for the family, remembering whose birthday is, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I think
it'll be, yeah, I'm just going to be tag your it with him. Like,
yeah,
you
know, sometimes, sometimes
he'll do it way better than me, just FYI.
The point there, maybe though, is that maybe when you first started, okay, you weren't earning the money you are now, but this is something that you've come to over time, right? Like, so do you think maybe when you first started writing, he thought to himself, yay, I'm going to be a house husband? Or is it something now he can see that actually it would be an amazing thing to do? And it's because over time you guys have kind of worked through your the sticking points around what you do. And
believed in me, you know, like I could have come home and said, I'm going to dance for the Royal, you know, British Ballet, and he would have bought me my shoes. Don't get me wrong, but it's very hard. He's a very practical man. And for him to go, me to just turn around for years of selling real estate or whatever I was doing at the time and go, oh, I'm going to have a crack at this writing. I'm going to do it full time if I can, you know, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
And I'm a very all in girl in that sort of situation. If I start something, I'm phew. So for him, it was an adjustment mindset, you know, like, but of course he works in dollar values. So as soon as the dollar started coming in, he was all over it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are, when they don't necessarily understand something, they understand that, because it's kind of universal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and the good thing is he started to understand that I have to invest to do well, like going to RAM, going to England, those sort of things. He's like, oh no, you need to do that, because that's what's and that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, it is no different to whether you're writing part-time or you're writing full-time. It's still, you're basically a self-employed business person. It's no different from setting up a retail store,
you're running your own publishing company.
You are. And that can be difficult for some people to wrap their head around. But I don't think you necessarily need to understand understand the industry, but I would
not
say
all at once.
What makes me sad is when I see some authors talking about their significant other, almost undermines their writing, undermines their dream. And I just, I'm sorry, but that's not good. And you shouldn't have to put up with that. They don't have to understand it, but they should support you, you know, in what you want to do. I just don't think there's any room for that. You know, I mean, I'm long divorced, but probably the most supportive person in my life is still my ex-husband. And so, you know, like, no, don't, you deserve better than that for yourself. You're worthy of that support without a six-figure income beside that support. You're worthy because it's something you want to do. So,
but it's about girl. So the tricky thing there is, okay, the title of this is Believe in Yourself When No One Else Does, right? And so you've got someone in your life who kind of doesn't really believe in what you're doing. It's almost like, as long as they're not physically holding you away from it, they don't have to believe.
Mentally holding you away from it.
But maybe sometimes if you know that person doesn't approve or doesn't believe in you, you might stop doing it. And what we want you to do is kind of say, there's two sides to it. I mean, maybe this person is your husband and they're just disapproving, right? And they think that you shouldn't be doing it, but they're not going to stop you doing it. So don't worry about it and keep doing it because you can believe in yourself. Like, that's maybe different from someone who is kind of haranguing and
it's addressing that too. Why don't they believe in you?
Yeah,
you
know, like,
it's coming from a point of misunderstanding.
It's
maybe. Like maybe you're like me and you've done a million things in your life and you're like this, and you float every, and then this one thing is going to stick.
Yeah.
And they don't get that.
And
because they've seen all
they'd
the
be
other
doing
floating,
9 to 5 and you know. Yeah.
And I would say if it's that point, then I actually would say get a third party to talk it over with, because sometimes somebody else explaining it, it's very hard to explain when it's you, and it's easy for us to get kind of emotionally, super emotional, and it doesn't necessarily convey it well. But I would highly recommend, if you're in that situation of almost like a conflict over it, to get some outside help for that, because it's not least of all, it's very hard to be creative when you're unhappy.
I think we feel like when we're talking about that kind of stuff, we're moving well away from the idea that we were kind of trying to convey, which was the idea that, you know, maybe there would be people in your life who wouldn't understand or wouldn't kind of get what you were doing, but it's okay. And you just need to focus in on yourself and your own beliefs and do it anyway.
And the vast majority of people will get it eventually, but it's probably a time thing, you know.
It's a, self-belief is massive. Believe in you, you know.
And, work on that. Work on changing that belief for you than trying to change other people's minds, probably.
Because you're not going to change other people's minds. Or, I mean, you can try to change other things. And like with Wendy's, and I guess with same with my husband, like over the time he's kind of gets it more now. Like I'll say to him, I got a book bub, and he'll go, yay. Maybe before
he was saying, like, we got a book bub this month.
Whereas so they kind of absorb it and they kind of get it and they'll figure it, you know, along the way. And that's a different thing. But don't it's about you and your own belief and your own kind of.
And also setting up your own little support team as well. I think that's, we've talked about that. The one thing I would say is don't have an expectation of keep your expectations realistic, and don't expect that your entire family and friends are going to go out and buy your first book and leave a review. And I've seen a lot of people feeling really hurt that they don't. It's not because they love you less, but it's just, particularly if they're not readers, it just doesn't kind of resonate. And I know that you would probably do it for them, but it's the old story. That's what you would do, but people are fundamentally pretty self-involved. And so it's not personal. It's just, it doesn't kind of occur to them probably. Even if you ask them, they'll probably say, oh yeah, I must get that, but it's kind of a nice thing to say rather than I'm going out to get it. And if they do, that's a huge win.
And to be fair, I feel the burning desire to point out that you actually don't want your friends and family to go and buy your book,
exactly,
because it messes with the algorithm on Amazon. And if you've got some person who normally reads thrillers coming along and reading your romantic comedy book, it's gonna mess everything up.
So it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, so don't even expect and the them thing, to buy the thing it. Is, just leave. No.
And the thing is, the ones that you don't expect to buy it.
Yeah.
Like my sister, who's pretty unassuming and just sort of gets on with her stuff. And I was talking to her the other day. She said, when's your next one coming out? I'm like, what? She's like, oh, I've got all of them. Of course I've got all of them. I might skip through all the naughty bits because the thought of you writing them disturbs me intensely. But, you know, I really like this and I really like that. And I'm like, dude, you know, that was so sweet. You know, you just, when you least expect it. You know,
I think so. I think go for that expectation. I agree.
Don't expect, because you will set yourself up to fail.
You can expect things that you can do that are based on your own effort and your. But just don't put all of your self esteem and your self worth in other people. Put it in yourself. Like, create that for yourself. You are worthy. You're doing great. Keep moving forward, and it'll be awesome.
And the thing is, you've taken the step anyway, because you're doing something pretty magical.
I agree. You know,
you're going to write a book and you're going to self-publish a book, and wow is all that I'm going to say to that, because how many people in this life will say to you, oh, I'm going to write a book, and they don't. You know, like, you guys really rock already.
Absolutely.
You rock the house down, because you've already written a book and you're thinking about self-publishing, or you are self-published. That's really kick-ass, and you should be very proud of yourself. Don't expect anyone else to be the one to build you up over that. You can build yourself up, because
but it's we really get it. We done. Get it, and we're here to say, go you.
Go is, you.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Awesome work.
Yeah.
And maybe on that note, we should.
I think on that note, we should, because it's a good one.
It's a good note. Yeah.
Yeah. So just believe in yourself by positive self-talk, telling yourself you're worthy, finding other people to talk to who know what you're talking about. Yeah. But you don't need to rely on them. Just know, it's nice to kind of understand.
And there's a lot of people that feel the same as you, you know, that are in that place. It's not just you.
And don't rely on what everyone else around you is saying.
And come to the Spa Girls page and talk to us if you need
to. Come to us at on Facebook at Spa Girls Podcast. We're always there to chat. Nice.
Well, email us. Email us at hello@spargirlspodcast.com. We're always happy to.
Email us too.
Yeah. Just say hi.
We're here for you.
Very approachable. We're very chatty.
We are.
You might not have noticed that, but we do.
But just to end on Wise Wendy's words, you're awesome and you rock.
Yeah. It's okay to just twinkle. You don't have to shine bright all the time.
No.
That's cute. I totally need to shine bright all the time.
I know you do. But then you're just an over shiner, let's be honest.
I'm an over shiner.
I've got to get my wick lit first.
Okay, it's time to move on. I think we've just sunk.
Okay, awesome. Alrighty. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Spa Girls Podcast. We delight in every episode, and we are so glad that you are here with us to hear our craziness and our
mentalness.
Wise words. Wendy's wise words.
Okay.
Awesome.
See you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.